We're going to be talking about Jesus, and again, we're going to be talking about those points that I had brought up earlier. We're going to talk about Mark 8:27 through 29 as the main basis for this lesson. And with this lesson, I'm going to be using a lot of scripture. I was thinking the other day, I use a lot of scripture, but the purpose is to prove what we're saying is from Christ. I was thinking about whenever I write a paper for work, I have to cite all my sources because I have to prove that this is a fact. So I was thinking that's why I use a lot of verses, because I'm trying to prove these thoughts. I go back to Scripture to prove those thoughts. So with that, we are going to be looking at a lot of verses, including ones about John the Baptist, Elijah, and other prophets this morning. And then we're going to be using the rest of the text to support who Jesus is. So let's read Mark 8:27 through 29. And it says, "Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, 'Who do men say that I am?' So they answered, 'John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets.' And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Peter answered and said to him, 'You are the Christ.'" So it's interesting thinking about these series of verses here. When I was talking to Mom and Jenna about maybe doing this lesson, they both went to this verse and read it when I was just trying to get an idea of what to do for a sermon. I think it's interesting that they both jumped to this verse. And to kind of break down this verse, I am interested in why would people think that he was John the Baptist, and why would some people say that he was Elijah? I've always wondered that, and I hope today that some of the thoughts that I put together can help everybody out maybe in their personal study. And I have a lot of questions, so maybe some of the things that I posed this morning I don't have answers for. They're just kind of the thoughts that I had when studying over this. So let's look at who John the Baptist was and is, and we can kind of get an idea maybe of why people would have said that he was John the Baptist. But let's look here real quick at this first part. So it asks, "Who do men say that I am? John the Baptist, Elijah, and one of the prophets." So in Luke, we're going to be using Luke, Matthew, Mark, we're going to be using several accounts this morning. But in Luke 1, 5 through 6, and in 13, to kind of sum everything up, I have some of the scriptures jump around a little bit, just so we can kind of fit in with context this morning. And Luke 1, 5 through 6 says, "There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was a daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless." Now, that would be John the Baptist's parents. I think it is interesting that this is a very important people here. We can see that Zacharias is one of the priests, and we have Elizabeth, who was one of the daughters of Aaron, so we know that there's lineage there. And then in 13 it says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John.'" So we kind of have this divine birth, right? So we have the parents being told that they will conceive a son. Now you can kind of see some relations building up here. Let's also look in Luke 1, 39 through 41. Now, I just bring this out because some people thought that he was John the Baptist. I do find it interesting that Mary and Elizabeth came together, and there was an interesting thing that happened. Luke 1, 39 through 41 says, "Now Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I find that interesting. We can see that these were two separate people. That John the Baptist, you know, was in Elizabeth's womb the first time that Mary met Elizabeth. And also, we have more information here in Luke 3, 15 through 17. Now, as the people were in expectation of all reasons in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, so there was already people thinking that he was the Christ. This was something that people were already starting to suggest. But John answered them, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with the water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit of fire. So he's letting them know that someone else is coming. It is not me. Someone else is coming. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out the threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. But yet the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now, these aren't terms that we use too much today. We don't really use winnowing fans, and we don't throw seeds up in the air and throw a fan that separates the seed from the shell. I did a lesson a few years on that, and that's the whole purpose of this. It's separating, sin from sinners and so on. But he's talking about, you know, things to come. I do find it interesting. I have been wanting to go back and do a little bit more of a study on this. But John the Baptist wouldn't have been that much older than Jesus. And I flipped back to Matthew just to read this real quick before I came up this morning. That Herod would have had every baby under the age of 2 murdered because he was trying to get rid of Jesus. And I was thinking that John would have been older than that because he wouldn't have fallen into that same time frame. I was really trying to put those dots together this morning because trying to think of relationships of when John and when Jesus was there. But I was trying to go back and try to study this so John would have been before Jesus, paving this way, letting them know that someone else was coming. But God's timeline was perfect with it. It was perfect with his coming. And we're going to see that perfect idea of God's plan towards the end. So with John the Baptist, and again, maybe why people were trying to figure out if he was Christ or if he was John the Baptist, maybe where people were confused. But John was actually put in prison. And as we know, he was put in prison and he was beheaded, as we know. Some of the things that go along with that, I mentioned to Jenna, I was like, do you remember why John the Baptist was put in prison? I think of how bold John would have been preaching the word. In Luke 3, 18 through 20, it says, and with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this above all, that he shut John up in prison. So to think of how bad Herod was, but John the Baptist still went to him and preached to him and told him the things that he was doing wrong. I'm just trying to put myself in that position to think of how bad of a person Herod was. To think that he went to him preaching these things, it was kind of almost inevitable that he would have been put in prison for doing that. But yet he was doing God's will. He went around preaching, even though he went to probably one of the worst people that's ever recorded in biblical history with Herod here, and went directly to him and told him all of those things he was doing wrong. I was trying to think of trying to do that to somebody today, walk up to him and tell them, you know, the word, even though, you know, that person and the power and everything that they would have been in. It was almost inevitable that he would have been thrown into prison. So with being thrown into prison, I was thinking, I wonder what the area was, where he would have been thrown into prison, and I pretty much have found out that that's almost impossible to try to find out. But I did find at least maybe an area. Now, I do want to point out that this says, just says, due to tradition, that doesn't mean that that's where this is, but this probably might be in the Palestinian territories, about maybe where John was put into prison. And the ruins that I have in the picture here would have been built many years after John would have been there. I just tried to find what that area was and where people think that this place would have been. But there are several buildings that were built up, tore down, after Christ and John the Baptist. So this would have been after 70 AD time frame. But they believe that it would have been somewhere in the Palestinian territories that he would have been put into prison. Now, when he was in prison, he asked some of his disciples to go and visit Jesus just to make sure this was the one. In Luke 7, starting in 19, it says, "And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, 'Are you coming? Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" So John is shut up in prison here, and he disciples to go and see if this truly is Christ. So again, I'm showing the purpose that there are two separate people here. One is in prison, and Christ is going around preaching. And Jesus says to them, here in verse 22, it says, "Jesus answered them and said, 'Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the leopards are clean, the deaf ears hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and the blessed is he who is not offended because of me.'" So we see that Jesus is preaching here, and these disciples go back and tell John that he is the one that has come. The whole reason that John was sent forth to tell everyone of this coming of the Lord. And as we know, after this, Herod has John put to death. So we can see that clearly John the Baptist and Jesus were two separate people. But John did come before him, letting the world know that Jesus was coming. Now, some also said Elijah. Let's take a look at Elijah here. Now, I do want to mention all of this research and things that I've done to put together for this morning are just some research that I've done this morning. I would love to hear other people on this topic. I hope these points make sense. But I really started to see some connections here. So Elijah would have been from the Israel area here. We first read about him in 1 Kings. He would have been around the 900 BC time frame, as we can see one of our first prophets here. But there's a lot of common features here with Elijah and Jesus. So let's first look at the message they delivered. So Elijah delivered a message, a prophetic message to rebuke Israel, including the leaders of pagan idolatry, especially the worship of Baal, urging Israel to turn from idolatry and follow God of Israel. We get that 1 Kings 18 and 21. Now, if you compare that to what Jesus was preaching, prophetic rebuke of religious leaders from misleading the people and for having an outward righteousness while their hearts were far from God. We get that in Matthew 23, 1 through 39. We also see some common features here. Elijah prophesied rain would cease for years. That's one of the first times we read about Elijah in 1 Kings 17 and 1. And then finally prophesying that the rain would come in 1 Kings 18, 41 and 45. And we also see that Jesus calmed the storms in Mark 4, 35 and 41. We also have a feeding of a multiple food, I would say. And Elijah yet again, the first times we read about him here in 1 Kings 17, multiplying oil and meal for a starving widow and her son when she was willing to share her portion. And Jesus multiplying food, loaves of bread and fish for a crowd who had come to hear him when a boy was willing to share his portion. John 6, 1 through 15. And also, each of them raised somebody from the dead. Elijah here, rising the widow's son from the dead. And for Jesus, this is just one that I wanted to mention, raising Lazarus from the dead in John 11, 38 through 44. We can kind of see these pieces of maybe why they were talking about Elijah. Now, I know that there's other aspects that about maybe why they thought it was Elijah, but these were just some of the thoughts that I just gathered for this morning about possibly why some would have thought that he was Elijah. Now, Elijah did prophesy about Jesus' coming, and maybe they thought that that was him talking about him coming back. But I just thought that this was very interesting, talking about these two individuals, about maybe some of the similarities of the things that Jesus did that also that Elijah did. Also, they said one of the prophets. They said John the Baptist, Elijah, or one of the prophets. Well, here's a timeline of all of our prophets here. Now, there were several prophets. We kind of list throughout the age here. Our last prophet, Malachi, they're around 400 B.C. We have about 400 years before Christ here, roughly. About maybe when it was one of the other prophets. Well, I started thinking about this, and I was trying to figure out why they would think that this was one of the other prophets. I was kind of putting some ideas together, and I was thinking not only was prophesying, but really he fulfilled the prophecies from the prophets, and there is a bunch of them. There's over 100. I don't have them all listed here, but there's almost 100 prophecies that he fulfilled from the prophets. So I find it interesting that they made comment that he could have been of one of the other prophets when he was fulfilling the prophecies from those other prophets. So I could see why men at this time frame was confused and why the apostles were not. And to maybe put a couple pieces together, while I was studying, I went back and read about when Jesus went on the Mount for the Transfiguration. Let's just look here in Matthew 17, 1 through 13. I'd like to read this real quick and just keep in mind that we just studied about John the Baptist and we just studied about Elijah. So just think about while I read through Matthew 17, 1 through 13. And it says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.' And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their feet, on their faces, and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Arise and do not be afraid.' When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, 'Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first. Jesus answered and said to them, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hand." Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. I found that interesting. People thought that he was these people. John the Baptist, Elijah, another prophet. And to think, here on the Mountain of Transfiguration, he mentions these same people. But you can clearly see that Jesus was not one of those people. That God said that he is his son, in which he is well pleased. Because he sent him to fulfill the prophecies that were set up from Elijah, from all of the other prophets. Jesus was there to fulfill all of that. That John the Baptist paved the way, and that he was to fulfill. We also get that exact thing from Matthew 5, 17 through 20. "Do not think that I come to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, to heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till it is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the last of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called the greatest in the kingdom. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." And the importance of this is that he came to fulfill it. Because he is the Son of God in Matthew 3:16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And to think, who baptized Jesus here? It was John the Baptist. That John the Baptist was here with Christ and baptized him. Now we know that Jesus was sinless, and we know that baptism removes sin. But Christ did this as an example for us, because he was God's Son that came down. That we have this example of him being baptized. Because in Romans 6, 3 and 4 it states, "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of his fathers, even so we should walk in newness of life." So with this lesson this morning, if you would like to walk in this newness of life, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, because we see from those scriptures that some did not believe that he was Jesus, that he was Christ. There's also many others today that believe that Jesus has not come, that he is not who he says he is. But if you believe who he says he is and would like to enter that newness of life, please come forward and be baptized as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.